when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, you all, you wonderful, wonderful people out there in Blood River Radio Land. God knows I love y'all. I really do. You know, we couldn't be on the air without you people. We really couldn't. I've said this 100 times, and it needs to be said 100 times more. I could not have gone to Pensacola, Florida, without you people financing the trip. And that, I can guarantee you, that was one of the biggest highlights in my life ever. As a matter of fact, I was able to talk to Phil Turney just today. He's doing real well. He's been he has a lot of things going on in his life, but he wanted me to let y'all know that he's doing great now. And people, as you know, this is July the 10th, 2021, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other name under the sun which man can be saved except Jesus Christ Almighty. You know what? While we were yet sinning, Jesus Christ died for our sins. So before I go, I'll take another step. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do what we did last week. We usually open with a prayer. We're going to reverse a little bit. I've got the hankering to read this verse. It won't take too long, so y'all, if you bear with me, I'm going to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, St. Matthew, out of my good old King James Bible. And he's talking about when he heals a leper, et cetera, et cetera. Excuse this hack. I got the same thing Monica had last week, I guess. Anyway, it says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, that can makes me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Okay, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. This is one of my favorite verses, of the Bible. The centurion came to him, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And this is the reason I like it so much, because it deals with faith. And I could not be where I am. I would be dead without faith, people. I hate to keep interrupting the scripture, but here we go. This is verse 8, chapter 8. The centurion answered and saith, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll explain that verse probably next week. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Thanks be to God. That's the gospel, folks. I tell you what, faith. Man was talking about faith. The centurion wasn't an Israelite, wasn't a Jew, yet he was saved. Anyway, people, you will just bow your head for a quick prayer. Oh, Lord, oh, God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, please continue to bless us, bless this radio show, station, bless Sam and Jay and all of his crew. And Lord, if you will, never let us stumble into doing your work. Let us always ride to the sound of the gun, to sound of the gunfire, Lord. Let us meet the enemy head on and never shrink, no matter what the odds. Let us do it, everything we do, with you, in your name, Lord. Please continue to give us discernment and let us obey your will. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We really do. And that's that comes from the heart, people, that's for sure. Anyway, people, I got to name the donors. We got, speaking of the donors, man, we got some loyal people here. I got one. He's new. His name is Alan. He's from Florida. And he's really been a big time help in sending me to Florida. He says, got this note from him. It's another donation. He said, "Dear Mr. Miller, you did an excellent job on the United States Ship Liberty series. I've listened to it 3 times now." Man, that floats my boat. What a compliment. "My Saturday evenings are so much better now that I have found Blood River Radio." He says, "Please find and close my July contribution. Best wishes, Ken." In fact, I talked to him the other day and asked him how many rattlesnakes he has on his land, because I'd love to go rattlesnake hunting. He said they don't have any rattles. He said, but they're covered up with cottonmouths. He said some of the rattlesnakes are up in these, they got a special kind of turtle down there. I forgot the name of it, but the rattlesnakes can get up in those caves that the turtles make. And I said, well, maybe we could go down there and get them out of there, but I don't think he's too wild about that. Anyway. Also, Hank, the Sasquatch and Regina, his new bride, from Florida, he sent a donation, as he always does, and he says, "Tell Miss Brenda we said hi." Miss Brenda's my wife, you know. And, you know, we also got a donation from our good old buddy Jimmy, out there, Washington State. He sent another little card. It's, the words are few, but they really mean a lot to me. It says, "Dear Eddie, you are doing a great job with Blood River Radio. Your friend, Jimmy." Thank you so much, Jimmy. Thank you very, very much. I really love that. Also, we got some other donors. We got Micah. Micah in Maryland sent us a nice donation. He always does. Steve in Baltimore. And Steve in Baltimore, he sends these real long letters. One of these days, I'm going to take about 15 minutes to read that letter. I mean, it's about 3 pages, man. He's really deep. We also, Ken, I call him Big Ben and Ken, because he sends something every month, sometimes 2-3 times a month. Bless his sweetheart. I've got to write that guy a letter. We couldn't go anywhere without him. Well, people, that's pretty much the housekeeping out of the way right now. We've got two tremendous guests on tonight. We have we're going to have Fred Leutcher. I don't know if we're going to be able to get him or not, because we couldn't reach him, you know. He may have forgotten where he was. He's kind of like me, getting long in the tooth. He may have forgot he's supposed to be on. But anyway, we're covered. We have Mr. Jason Robbone, attorney at law, Western Arkansas. We'll let him give you the full bio like he got the last time he was on here. He gave it. And we also, everybody knows Miss Monica Schaefer, my little sister, Miss Braveheart. How are you doing tonight, Miss Monica?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I did get rid of the scratchy throat. Thank you. Yeah, well, so I wanted to talk in more detail today about this whole Native thing.
Let me introduce, hang on just a second, sister, yeah. Little sister. We also have Jason Robbone. He's going to be on with you. We're trying to bring Fred up. If we can get in touch with Fred, we'll bring him up the second hour. Oh, okay. We'll try to bring Fred on. Okay, we'll try to get Fred. We'll bring Fred on after Monica and Jason, since we have a hard time getting in touch with Fred. I know he'll understand. So anyway, give us a quick, let's introduce yourself right quick, like, Jason.
Well, Eddie, like you said, my name is Jason Robb. I'm an attorney here in Harrison, Arkansas, northwest Arkansas. Most people know where Branson, Missouri is, and that's about 30 miles south of Branson, Missouri, so that's where I'm located at. I'm the general counsel for the Knights Party, nationwide organization, pro-white rights organization, and son of Pastor Thomas Robb, who most people are familiar with, who's the national director of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, as well as the senior pastor of the Christian Revival Center. And so been involved in this racial white resistance all my life. Our whole family is involved. And we love to spread the great news of White Christian Revival to our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be at. And so we're just honored and blessed to be on this show with you and obviously with Monica.
Well, that's a great introduction. You know, I was explaining to you and Monica and Fred, what happened was we could not get Fred in the beginning. So, and we knew Monica was available. And so we just do what we do here in live, like they say, it's live radio, folks. We roll with the flow, but we're going to run it. So since we got those guys here, here's what we'll do. Here's the drill. We'll let Monica finish up on a topic. I believe she started the last time she was on radio when she had that frog in her throat. She's going to finish that. And now Fred, when Monica's through, Fred has some questions. He wants to ask Jason about the Klan and all kind of things like that. So does Jim. Well, we won't bring Jim on tonight. I'll have to call him because this is I screwed this up tonight, I'm afraid. But anyway, that's what we'll do. In the second hour, we'll see how that goes. Well, I wanted Jason to be able to tell us all about the Klan, the history of the Klan. But before we get to that, people, and also I wanted Jason to be able to ask Fred questions about when he took his trip over to Poland, Germany, and investigating the so-called Holocaust. So that's kind of the order of operation. But first, since we got Monica up, she's such a good soldier, came on when she's available, standing by. Go ahead, Miss Monica, finish that topic that you started, I think. Well, we'll come back in a break. People, hold on to your hats. We'll be right back. We got the three great guests on the line, and we'll get right back to you after this break.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at bloodriverradio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Well, dear people, welcome back to Blood River Radio, man. We're unscrambling the mess I made, but it's going to be great. I'm notorious for changing plans on the fly. And we didn't think we were going to get in touch with Fred, but everything, and we didn't bring him, so we brought Monica on. But anyway, it's going to be great. It always turns out great. And you know why? Because we got these great, 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 fantastic guests. Anyway, y'all all know Monica Schaefer, my little sister. She really is Miss Braveheart herself. So continue on, Miss Monica, with what you were going to talk about before we went to that break. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, Eddie. So, you know, it sounds like really different topics today, Ku Klux Klan and the Native question in Canada and the hoax. But do you know, they are all related. All roads lead to the same place with all of these things, and that's always the big JQ.
And the Liberty, and the United States ship Liberty is a big lie, too. But go ahead.
Oh, you bet. Oh, it's endless, the big lies. Everything is upside down and reversed. And yeah, so I'm really honored and happy to be on your show and talk about some of these things. So last week, I just barely started talking about the situation in Canada. And it's about the natives and these supposedly these grave, unmarked grave sites, which has this story has been completely misrepresented to the public, because in the end, it's all about the war that is being waged on all of us, actually, and that's the white race and the natives here. But they are using the natives now to make us be the bad whitey, bad whitey, bad whitey, kind of like in the States. It's all about white guilt over the Black Lives Matter, this whole thing. Now, we have our own story here with the natives, but in this case, it's a little bit different because here the idea is to dispossess us of our lands. And they are doing this with this UNDRIP. That's UNDRIP. It's United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And through that, well, we've just there's a piece of legislation in Canada, Bill C-15, which is basically going to allow this UNDRIP declaration to supersede any Canadian laws. And in this UNDRIP declaration, they do not actually define Indigenous peoples. They could be peoples from anywhere on Earth. And that if they have ever used or occupied or otherwise had any association with land, then they can claim ownership. I mean, it is outrageous. This sounds probably, just too outrageous to be true. But no, this is actually happening in British Columbia. Already 95% of the land has been declared to where this UNDRIP thing applies. So now, to go to these graves, I have a very specific story, and this is just an example of how they misrepresent these graves. They make it sound like there were these mass executions and dumped bodies of children into these mass graves, and that they were just executed. Nothing could be further from the truth. Here's an elder that spoke up in Saskatchewan, one of the provinces in Canada. And this elder said, look, imagine the reserve itself telling you all to calm down and stop making assumptions. So this is written by Irene Andreas, and she's a First Nation. She says, dear folks, our leaders today are addicted to media sensationalism. I can see how the Marieville graveyard news is causing a lot of heartbreak and emotional breakdowns. Please listen to your elderly folks as well. We respected the church. We respected the dead. We buried our dead with a proper funeral. Then we allowed them to rest in peace. Please be aware that this cemetery is a community cemetery with all races and ages of people buried there. I'm just going to repeat that, with all races and ages of people buried there. Now, the headstones were removed in 1966-67 as a first step in refurbishing, as the old markers were damaged by weather, age, or animals. The second step of replacing the old and broken headstones wasn't completed. Parishioners had moved away or they had passed on or were simply unable to put up a marker for various reasons. Please know that it is the obligation of the family to put a marker there for their deceased. This is not the responsibility of the government or the church. To assume that foul play took place would be premature and unsupported. There is no quote-unquote discovery of graves. All your elders have knowledge of every grave. The band office has records from the bishop's office and the church board and from cemetery workers who were in charge of digging graves and burials. And so that's almost the end of the letter. I'll wrap that part up. But you see, that's one example of the misrepresentation of these grave sites, which I'll tell you something else. For the last several years, the Communist Broadcast Corporation of Canada, otherwise known as Canadian Broadcast Corporation, the CBC, they have been pumping out programming on Native people like much, much more than they used to. There's just lots of time dedicated to, you know, propping up the culture, the this and then that, and the history and this and that about the Native people. And I've red flags went up for me right away, even though I've always been actually quite sympathetic to the Native people of Canada. That's just how I grew up. I always was very sympathetic to their plight and whatnot. But then I just thought, no, there's something wrong with this picture. They're setting up the background for some agenda. Now, the timing of this quote unquote discovery of these unmarked graves, as they put it, is not just a coincidence, because this Bill C-15, which I've mentioned, where they are bringing in this United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, that is very recent. And together, the timing of the graves, the cemeteries, them finding that and pumping out this Native 24/7 just about of, it's all made to dispossess us and make the whitey bad. And so really it's that's what is going on here. That is what is happening in Canada. So it's kind of the equivalent of your story with the Black Lives Matter. And we've got that happening in our cities too. But here we've got a different, slightly different method, I guess you could say.
Yes, you know, Miss Monica, and we mentioned all these lies, the lies about that you're just talking about, the lies about the Ku Klux Klan, why it's organized, the lies about the United States of Liberty, the lies about the Holocaust. Those are four of the really big ones. You know, and this lie that we just mentioned ties in real well with the lies that have been told about the Knights Council, the Ku Klux Klan. I'm telling you what, I've been there twice. They're the nicest people I've ever seen in my life. They're much nicer than I am. They're better Christian people than I am. And with that, bring Jason on, and Jason's going to respond to what you said, and he's going to tell about the lies that's been told about him and his people under the Klan. His dad's been in the Klan for, golly, I don't know how many years, Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I love what Monica said. I mean, and I think what she says is so true, and it really goes to white guilt. They want white people. They want future white generations to be have guilt. They don't want children or our people to be raised with a sense of pride, a sense of honoring their forefathers and foremothers. And because if our future generation grow up and they do not respect and honor their culture and their race, then they're not going to fight for it. And so that's why there's that continual attack on white guilt, have children growing up not thinking they have nothing to preserve, nothing to secure for the future generation. So I love what Monica was saying about that. As far as the Klan, my father, he joined the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in the late 70s, early 80s. He's been the national director of the Knights for 31 years. Last year was his 30th year as a national director of the Knights. And the Knights specifically was founded in 1956. The person that founded that, there were several people. David Duke became national director. Everyone knows and have heard about David Duke. He was director for a few years. And I hear the music, so I'm going to get off, I guess, Eddie, and let you come
Don't
back.
Lose that thought and come back and take up exactly where you left off when we come back from the break, Jason. People, hold on. We'll be right back with this great interview here with Jason and Miss Monica and Fred later on.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden told Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday, in a Friday phone call, that he must take action against cyber criminals acting in his country and that the U.S. reserves the right to defend its people and its critical infrastructure, the White House said.
The United States expects when a ransomware operation is coming from his soil, even though it's not sponsored by the state, we expect them to act.
A fire engulfed a food and beverage factory outside Bangladesh's capital, killing at least 52 people, many of whom were trapped inside by an illegally locked door, fire officials said Friday. The blaze began Thursday night at the five-story Hashim Foods Limited factory, sending huge clouds of black smoke billowing into the sky. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheet Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Pfizer and BioNTech said they will seek approval from the FDA for a booster shot of its COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. However, the FDA and CDC said that a booster is not necessary at this time. Here's public health expert Dr. Aditi Narukar.
Pfizer and other drug companies will continue to iterate whatever formulations they have. And that's not uncommon. And that's just something that they're doing. And they've been doing this for lots of vaccines and drugs. And it's just a natural process.
They expect a third dose to be even more powerful based on early data that has not yet been published or submitted to the FDA or other regulatory bodies. Despite most experts predicting that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates as soon as 2023, an improving jobs market and rising inflation is leading the president of one Federal Reserve bank to believe it should happen sooner, which would create an uptick on mortgage and refinance rates. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Without much ado, we're going to go right back to Jason because time is money. So go ahead, Jason. Continue talking about your dad, his career in the Klan, and tell him about what your goals are, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead. I don't have to tell you. You know what to do.
Yeah, sir. So my dad joined the Klan in the late 70s. I believe it was early 80s as well. But he's been the national director for 30 years. When he joined the Knights, he was already pretty much well known in the white resistance movement. He had his own ministry already, his own publication, and then he thought that the Klan was the best route to get the message out. His message has always been proclaiming a message of hope and deliverance to our people, and he thought the Klan was the best avenue in order. Best recognition, the name recognition of the Klan has sometimes obviously has a negative connotation, but also has a positive connotation because anyone thinks of Klan knows that the Klan standing up for white people's rights. And so he thought that was the best avenue in order to get that message out. So since that time, rose up in the ranks. Like I said, David Duke was national director. When my dad joined, he became the national chaplain, the national organizer, and eventually the national director. And he's been at that helm ever since. And my sister, Rachel Pendergraf, is the national organizer. I'm the general counsel of the Knights Party. So it's a family affair. And we love what we're doing. We love reaching out to our people. We know it's a hard road, but our children are worth it.
We love you, Jason. I tell you what, I'll tell you people this, and Jason knows that I joke about him being my illegitimate son sometimes. But the first time I saw Jason, I'll go back and use a 1960s term. There was good vibrations. The man puts off a good aura. I'm telling you, I don't want to embarrass you, Jason, but you're one of the finest Christian men I've ever met. I'd love you to death. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. In fact, of all the Klans people, including your family, I'll go ahead and say it. I think you're probably my favorite one. I don't want to step on any of your other family's toes or anything, but I became attached to you immediately. You're like a younger son to me. Matter of fact, you're about 6 or 7 years younger than my youngest child. But, I also like to just chime in. People back, Gene Andrews knows the rhyme and verse about the Klan. But basically, I think the first time ever it started, I think they gave credit for it up here in Tennessee. I didn't know the name of this town. It escapes me right now, but it was up here in Tennessee.
It was in Pulaski, Tennessee in 1865. Christmas Eve of 1865 when the Klan was founded by six Confederate soldiers, ex-Confederate soldiers, and they formed the Klan because after the destruction of the South, the radical Republicans instituted several acts that made it illegal for white people, white Confederates, to hold offices, to vote, and so as a result of that, the Klan was founded to push back the destruction from the North in the South. And once the Klan was founded and they were able to repel the Northern troops back, I believe it was 1876, the Klan basically disbanded because they had done that. But up until that time, the South was under five military districts, and that's why whites were not able to hold office. They couldn't be on jurors. And so it was a total annihilation of Southern people. And so whites were basically prisoners in their own homeland. And so it took years for white people to be able to push back. But once they did, then the Klan was basically no longer needed. And then from there, it continued. But that's the reason why the Klan was originally founded.
And, later on... Go ahead, Ron.
I just
go
have
ahead.
To ask something. I'm sorry, I just have to ask something just for clarification. You were saying that...
You go ahead and ask your little sister.
Yeah. White people were not allowed to hold office or be jurors. Well, who was allowed to hold office?
Then the blacks were.
It's just unbelievable what I'm hearing. compare this to what we learned about the KKK in the media and in schools, and it was just the most evil organization ever. And here you're telling me that white people were not allowed to hold office.
Exactly. Oh. That's why when you see in the pictures, photographs around late 1860s, early 1870s, you'll see photographs of black senators and black U.S. representatives all throughout the South, and people will say, see, blacks were being elected. Well, they were being elected because whites were not able to vote. They could not hold office. And so, like I said, the whites were prisoners in their own country. They came back from the war, and their lands had been taken away. It was total devastation. And like I said, it was a military zone for a couple decades. In the South. And so the whites were galvanized to try to reclaim their homeland. And that was the purpose of it.
Don't forget
that's kinda like Germany. after World War II, Jason and Monica. That's like Germany, though. What they did, the satanic forces that absolutely crushed the South. And by the way, white women were being raped in broad daylight in mass. Young boys, older men were being hung and stomped by black people that were armed. White people couldn't be armed. It was the hell, and they exported that hell to Germany after Germany lay prostrate in April 1945, didn't they, Monica?
Absolutely.
See similarities there?
Yes, everything that they, in brackets, accuse us of doing, they do to us. It applies to everything across the board, whether it's killing us with the jab, but they accuse us of killing others, and so we're bad, or whether it's the hollow hoax, and then, you know, they holocausted the German people by the millions, and yet they accuse the Germans of having holocausted them. It's completely the opposite. Or whether it's any number of things, they completely project what they do onto their victim. And when I say they, it's the synagogue of Satan, those who are they worship their god Satan, and they happen to be the bankers, and they happen to own the media, and they are those without roots, and they happen to have gotten that state of Israel to become the headquarters for their crime syndicate.
Yep, absolutely.
Jason, don't forget you got the Jews in the mix there too. The blacks were being pushed into the offices, but the Jews are actually running everything. We had to pass Posse Comitatus to get the military out of there. And I mean, you know, the Jews were just looting everybody.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, you had the carpetbaggers, and what, you know, called the carpetbaggers and the scallywags, you know, the kind of the terms they used, you know, in the South, because you had your Jewish bankers right after the Civil War coming down to the South and starting to manipulate the money system in the South, and started to take over lands, and then trying to request debts to be paid on maybe different loans that obviously white people could not make because there was a war, and so they were coming down there and basically evicting whites off their homeland. And yeah, and you have these Jewish bankers. I mean, and the Jewish people have always been an enemy to white Europeans, our people. There's an inherent battle going on, you know, from the children of God to the children of Satan. It's been a battle from the beginning of time. And of course, this false state of Israel, that's a whole issue in itself. But yeah, the Jews have immense power under the money system and the economics, and that's why that's why, you know, especially within the South, they devastated and raped the South and the economics of the South at the very beginning when the Civil War had ended.
And they veil themselves as being the perpetrators of all these wars by pitting us against each other, which is here, you know, the whites and the natives, and in Europe, you know, the Anglo-Saxons.
Little sister, we have to go to
Germans.
A break.
Yeah.
My dear little sister, Braveheart, we're going to a break. We'll come right back, and you finish. When we come back, I'll make a comment, and you finish your comment, and I know Fred has some stuff to say. Be right back, people. We got Mr. Fred Litcher himself, Miss Monica Schaefer, my little sister, and my little spirit son, Jason Robb. Be right back.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Hard Genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, I tell you what, we're having a wonderful time tonight. We're just talking to our wonderful guest, the Mental Sister, Mental Spirit Son, and my brother Fred. And I was telling them, I've had some people that have been in the Klan, and I've been in the League of the South, and they get out because they say, you know what, it's just impossible to convert anybody, or because the Klan has such a negative connotation. Well, I'll tell them, you know what, I'll say, get the hell out of my face, you coward. That goes back to General Nick Glasovic, one of my favorite men on earth. He said, and I got this taped on my wall. He said, Eddie, an unspoken truth is worse than a damn lie. General Nick Glasovic, May 2021, parentheses. I got that in parentheses. And that's true. We will always confront lies head on. We will never give up. We'll preach against these lies in the time. And the Ku Klux Klan was one of the most honorable Christian organizations ever on this earth. And in my opinion, it still is. And Miss Monica, go ahead and finish your points, and we'll see what Fred wants to say. And then, of course, then we'll bring Jason in. Go ahead, Miss Monica, finish up what you were talking about.
I just want to corroborate with what you're saying there, because it seems that the more they vilify something, the more we have to actually look into it. And now that we realize that they're lying to us about pretty much everything, you know, if something they've made really, really bad, it means it's really, really good. And, you know, I would say that the Ku Klux Klan is right on par with the lies they've told about it, I should say, is right on par with the lies they've told about Germany and the Hollow Hoax, and the potency of those two things, the KKK and the Holocaust. I would say they have about the same potency. And now that I've figured out the lie of the Hollow Hoax, I have done a little bit of looking into the KKK, but today I learned something brand new about why it was started, and I am just so grateful for that knowledge. That is just so important, and I'll just pass it over then now. Thanks.
Go ahead, Fred. Do you have any comments on that before I'm going to bring something to y'all's attention in just a minute? We found out today. But go ahead, Fred.
I want to make a comment on what she talked about. Monica talked about earlier, relative to the crap with the United Nations. You know, they're trying to shove that down our throat here in the United States with their so-called small arms treaty, and where nobody can own firearms. And you know, we have a constitution here in the United States. It's not a law. It's the Constitution and our Bill of Rights, which is the First Ten Amendments. I'm mainly concerned with the Second Amendment on this issue, because no matter what Congress does, no matter what the Senate does, they can elect to accept anything, but they can't change anything in the Constitution. There's a procedure for changing that, and that can only be done through a convention and through a ratification of a sufficient number of states. And, you know, if they think in this country that they're going to fool around and say, well, we've just accepted this treaty with the United Nations, they're going to have people shooting at them. Because that's what's actually going to happen. And I guess the question I have relative to the problems that they have in Canada now, I don't fully understand the constitution that Canada has, but I know that from when I was in Canada with the Zondel situation, I was told that they really didn't have the right of free speech like we have in the United States. Our First Amendment gives us the right of free speech, thought, and religion. And you can't change that by passing a law. They try to do that here in the United States, and they insist on licensing people that carry firearms, but these licenses really don't exist. Everybody in the United States has the right to carry a firearm and cannot be interfered with by anybody. And you have the right to believe what you want, to have the right to religion, and say what you want. But I guess you don't have the same rights in Canada, because how did your constitution get accepted?
What we have here is the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, yes, which Pierre Elliott Trudeau brought in. But they have this notwithstanding clause. And, you know, I don't know what existed before that. We're under the reign of the Queen. We're a Commonwealth country, and right, we still actually have Governor General who... Oh, yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about, the timing of the latest appointed Governor General, which is the Queen's representative in Canada, is a native person. This just happened last week, in the last few days. That was the other thing I wanted to point out, was coincidental with all these other things happening, the discovery of these mass graves, quote unquote, and the, you know, 24/7 about native stuff, and the UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous People, and their Bill C-15. This is all at the same time, and people have no idea what is coming down the pipes here, because it is a total dispossession of our land, that we will lose our land. And I have friends who are already experiencing trouble. They are ranchers, and they are having trouble with the leasing of Crown land, which has been a normal thing. Now suddenly they're supposed to pay the native people. Which native people? They don't even know. It's not clarified, you know. But
right,
anyway, so the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms is what we have. And supposedly it's, you know, giving everybody the right to do this and do that, like equal, like the sexes and the freedom, right, of religion, freedom of, you know, that nobody's discriminated against on the basis of their age, sex, this, right, and that and the other thing. Yeah. But there's always the notwithstanding clause, and that's a out for anything. And then they bring in hate speech laws. That's not the same as freedom of speech. And people have told me that in my old town of Jasper on the streets, they would say, I would say, hey, what about freedom of speech? They said, no, this is hate speech. That's different. Anytime you talk about truth, about uncomfortable subjects, suddenly it's the hate speech. So we
either
do
you got
not
it or
have
you
the
don't
same protections as you do in,
yeah,
the United States.
Either
you've
got freedom of speech
American
or you
friends,
don't have
you
freedom of speech. But there's no such thing as separating what speech is free and what speech isn't.
Well, but that's the thing. Who is defining what is free speech? You either have it or you don't. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant.
Yeah.
You cannot be half pregnant, right?
I know. Yeah, that, you know, I totally agree. And, you know,
yeah,
unfortunately, I mean, we have the same problem here in the United States, because we got the Supreme Court into trying to interpret the Constitution. And I always tell people, a Constitution cannot be interpreted. It has to
That's
be read.
Right.
It has to be read with a dictionary of at the time that the amendment or the Constitution was written. And
correct,
if you want to change it, we have a procedure for changing it, and you amend it. But you don't do it in a court of law because the law has no right to do it. A Supreme Court has no right. All it can do is repeat what the person that wrote the amendment or the article said.
And yeah, like I've said, I've always said to my American friends, you know, sorry.
You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of our greatest jurists, made an interpretation on the First Amendment relative to the right of free speech, and he said, you don't have the right to shout fire in a crowded theater. Well, I got news for him. He's totally wrong. He doesn't understand his own constitution, or he doesn't understand what a constitution is. Yes, you do have a right, and maybe you shouldn't have that right, but we can amend the constitution to take it away.
Correct.
But without amending the constitution, no judge has got any right to sit there and say, this is what we're going to do.
So. Well, you know, Fred, the end game really is they want to kill all European stock, like Janice was saying. They first holocausted the Russians, then the Germans. Well, actually, they first holocausted the Confederates, the South, then the Russians, then the Germans. And I have an announcement to make in a few minutes. But go back to go back to you, Jacob. You were just getting Jason. You were just getting ready to say something. Go ahead, son.
Well, and what I will say with Ms. Lerchnor was saying is the fact that he's absolutely right. And a lot of people don't understand with the Constitution, you know, our founding forefathers said these were inalienable rights. These were rights that were God-given rights, and our founding forefathers understood that. And that's why they were wise enough, which I think it was God divine, that they put the first 10 amendments in the Constitution about freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom to assemble, freedom of speech, and the Second Amendment regarding the Bill of Rights regarding right to carry guns. These were God-given rights. These were natural rights that the government could not give you, but rights that came from God himself. And that's why it was so important. So, yeah, when people say we're going to restrict gun ownership, and you have to have permits and license, I mean, you're trampling on the Constitution, and you're trampling in our own personal rights given from God. And people, I don't think they truly understand that concept.
No, they don't. And that's the problem. But,
That's a whole attack upon our Western culture, our Western society, our foundation of our government, because our people, a republic, the right to govern, our countries, our Europeans, they come from our people. It's a part of us, and when you flood United States, Canada, Europe with non-whites, people of stock of non-whites, they don't understand that because it did not come from them. The whole idea of self-government comes from our people. It's the history of our people, and that's why those things we recognize that, and it's something that's just natural.
True.
Yeah. That's true, and it's getting worse now because at least some of the people years ago understood some of this because they learned it in the schools, but they don't. They're taking everything out of the schools now, and they're teaching them stuff that doesn't even make sense and it's got nothing to do with our white and Western way of life.
Yeah.
And in fact, what they are teaching in the schools is guilt. The children go to school, and I'm telling you, if you look at their social studies curriculum or history curriculum, you would wonder how not every single one of those children isn't going to want to commit suicide if they're white. Because it's nothing but guilt and absolutely no teachings of something that would make them proud of their culture and ancestors.
Well, guys, we got to go to a break. We're getting ready to transition into the second hour. But before we do, I'd like to make this sad announcement. In Charlottesville, we were there in August of 2012 to protest the destruction of the Robert E. Lee statue. They're moving it just today as we speak. It just makes me sick, makes me sad, it makes me want to go to war. People, we're right back. We're transitioning to the second hour, so go get just a cup of coffee. It's going to be kind of a long break.